Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And joining us now, Dan Cassino, is a professor of political science at Fairleigh Dickinson University, who also serves as the director of experimental research for the university's independent research group, Public Mind. His latest book is Fox News and American Politics, How One Channel Shapes American Politics and Society. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dan Cassino.
Always a pleasure, Ian.
Well, thank you, Dan. And it does seem to me that in many ways, the twins, if you will, running America as much as the president does, and this particular president seems woefully out of his depth and sort of governs by stunt and by PR stunts. But the one person who he talks to every day, who, if he doesn't direct the agenda, he certainly is the echo chamber for Trump's support and keeps Trump's base in the bubble, is Rupert Murdoch. And here's Trump on Saturday tweeting out an attack on CNN and then, of course, praising Fox. You know, Fox News is much more important in the United States than CNN, but outside of the U.S., CNN International is still a major source of fake news, and they represent our nation to the world very poorly. If you're a foreign correspondent working for CNN, or any foreign correspondent, frankly, in these rough countries run by despots and gangsters, etc., and kleptocrats, where your situation is pretty insecure to begin with, and you're usually covering a war or a civil war. That, and by the way, this all happened on the very day that Putin rolled back access to the Western press in Russia. So normally a president would go out on an occasion like that and make a statement condemning Putin's action and reinforcing America's values, and particularly in terms of the First Amendment. So I found this whole thing that happened on Saturday absolutely shocking and, of course, depressing as usual.
Well, it's also fairly dangerous. We've actually seen this rhetoric of fake news being taken up by undemocratic leaders around the world. So we've got Tayyip Erdogan in Turkey, who was democratically elected by some measures. And so he talks a lot about fake news, and any news he doesn't like is now labeled as fake news. If the American president does it, it is a license for anyone around the world to do it as well. And that's really what's so dangerous about it. The president having a feud with domestic news stations, that's bad, and it's beneath the dignity of the office to grit, but it's also domestic. Once this becomes international, it becomes a real problem for America, and as you pointed out, for American reporters. We should also note Trump was saying, boy, it's terrible that CNN is everywhere and Fox News is so much better. It's not as though Fox News hasn't tried to go outside of the United States. It's that it hasn't been popular. One of the reasons Fox News has been so popular in the United States is because it was really the first of the openly political news organizations to come in, basically importing the British tabloid model into the United States, and it was the first of its kind. In other countries, they already have something like that, so Fox News just hasn't been successful. It went off the air in the United Kingdom very recently, not because of any government censorship, just because no one was watching it. CNN is important because it is so wide-reaching. CNN International is trusted. It gets very good ratings in most countries around the world. It has lots of local editions in various countries around the world. And because it is an American company, it is linked with America, it has already come under attack from leaders who don't like what they're reporting. Now, you could argue that, you know, when Vladimir Putin goes ahead and puts restrictions on foreign press, on, let's say, the Voice of America, which is funded by the government and is doing, you know, by some measure, propaganda, it may make sense to put limitations on them. But he puts a limitation on CNN that is not only against the interest of CNN, it really is against our own national interest, which always in the past, at least, has been for more open and free exchange of ideas.
So you've written a book about Fox News, obviously, Dan Cassino, and studied it in depth. Do you think, though, that Donald Trump is an authoritarian, or is he just this creature of publicity and public relations, which he clearly is? He craves attention and most of all praise. And he treats the press, I think, as an extension of public relations. So is this a sinister side of him, or is he an unconscious authoritarian, or is he an active authoritarian?
I think he would very much like to be an authoritarian. I think he certainly has authoritarian tendencies. I don't think he's doing a very good job of it as the issue. In terms of the press, this is actually going back to a much older version of the press. This is about the way Teddy Roosevelt, for instance, dealt with the press, where if you wrote positive things about him, you got access, you got interviews, you got exclusives. If you wrote negative things, you were shut out completely. So it's not unprecedented. What's different is how open he's being about it. Teddy Roosevelt didn't come out and say, your newspaper's bad, I'm not going to give interviews to other people, and come out and say that to the public, where Donald Trump is. It also goes against the norm of the sort of the relationship between the press and the president we've had for the past 50 years, and that's really what's so shocking. The press that we have today, the partisan press, isn't much different than we had in the 19th century, but it's very different than what we've had since really the start of the Cold War. And that's what makes this so shocking. And again, if this is purely domestic, you can put it off as, oh, this is the president's style. He's used to dealing with New York tabloids, which are similar to the British tabloids, and this is the way you run things when you're dealing with New York tabloids. You know, you've side with the Daily News versus the Times. You know, there's ways to do this in New York. But when it gets international, you've got a real problem. And this seems to have been really kicked off by the president's trip overseas, where Fox News isn't an option when you're touring Asia. You basically have to be watching CNN, and he realized, boy, CNN is saying bad things about me. And we know from reports of his staff that they stop him, make sure he does not get any negative news about himself during his daily briefings, during his day-to-day life. So it must have come as a great shock to him to turn on the TV in Asia and find it's all negative news about him. And he has to vent about that somehow. It's shocking that we have a president who feels the need to do that, but given what we know about President Trump, it's not at all surprising.
And again, I'm speaking with Dan Cassino, who's a professor of political science at Fairleigh Dickinson University, who also serves as director of experimental research for the university's independent research group, Public Mind. His latest book is Fox News and American Politics, How One Channel Shapes American Politics and Society. So when you were saying earlier, Dan, that Fox has failed abroad because it is seen as propaganda, is that because in a lot of the countries you basically have state TV? And I've always thought of Fox as the kind of Pravda of the Republican Party, and now that Trump's in power, it's very much the Pravda of the Trump administration.
I think that's actually taking it a little bit too far, Ian, and here's why. Pravda is very much top-down. The government is saying to the newspapers or the state media, this is what we want you to print. Fox News is actually working the other direction. That is, Fox News, to some extent, is setting the agenda for the White House. The president watches Fox News, and what they say, they go, oh, that's the issue we have to deal with today. So Fox News is very much doing the agenda setting. And Fox News has a very different idea of what should happen than the president does, necessarily. So the president is much more about populism. Fox News' goal has always been to keep together, or at least for the past 10 years, to keep together the kind of radical, conservative, bomb-throwing Tea Party side of the Republican Party, together with the pro-business side, the Rockefeller Republicans we used to call them, side of the Republican Party, and to keep those two bases together. And that's what they're trying to do, and that's not necessarily what Trump is trying to do. Trump doesn't really care too much about the pro-business side, and Fox News is very much actively herding him towards working with the Rockefeller Republicans on things that really are outside of what he would generally want to do.
Well, his remarks about CNN and praise of Fox and suggesting that it should be the voice of America abroad has prompted a couple of interesting characters to come out of the woodwork and obviously very disturbed. James Comey came out and tweeted a quote from Jefferson praising and explaining the importance of the First Amendment, and the former head of the CIA and the National Security Agency, Michael Hayden, basically said this whole attack on CNN was an outrageous assault on the First Amendment, quoting Hayden, "If this is who we are or who we are becoming, I have wasted 40 years of my life." Pretty strong statement, wouldn't you say?
Of course, and it is very much against what America has done for the past 50, 60 years. And I think perhaps this is the most dangerous thing about Trump, is that he is breaking norms at such a rate that we don't have time to understand or accept how those norms are being broken. There was a period during the Obama administration where President Obama did not want to talk to Fox News. Actually, he made a public statement against Fox News, said they didn't like him, he wasn't going to bother doing interviews with them, and he got a lot of heat for that. And in response, he actually did a couple interviews with Fox News to show, look, I'm going to treat everyone fairly, even if I think they're not treating me fairly. That was a furor that lasted days or weeks during the last administration. now this is going to be something that dies out in a day or two when the next shocking norm-breaking thing comes through. The real danger of Trump is that we lose track of what norms are important and what norms are not. And freedom of the press, in an impartial press, is extremely important. But it's inconvenient for someone who doesn't like what the public is saying about him, and so he's working against them. We have to bear in mind which ones are important, which fights we have to deal with, and which fights we don't. I would propose this is one of the fights we really have to worry about.
Right, but Dan, is he sort of operating government by stunt, by throwing out red meat, by being provocative? For example, yesterday when he met with the Navajo code breakers from World War II, wonderful veterans, did extraordinary, saved thousands of lives, and it was a sort of hallowed moment, albeit in front of the portrait of the great Indian killer, Andy Jackson. Nevertheless, it was an appalling thing that he did. He just suddenly, you know, in a very clumsy and ludicrous way, he took a shot at Senator Elizabeth Warren, calling her again Pocahontas, and it was so out of place. So my question would be, is he cynically throwing out these provocative acts on a daily basis to keep everybody off balance or be what Jeb Bush said, the chaos president? Or is he just simply out of control?
I don't like the arguments. I've certainly seen plenty of arguments that the president is playing five-dimensional chess. Like, he wants to create controversy because he wants to be on top of things and he wants... I don't believe he's doing it, because there are much more efficient ways you could do it if that's what he was trying to do. I would argue the president has a problem with impulsivity, that especially when he's speaking off the cuff, he says offensive things. And we take those offensive things seriously, as we should, because he is the president. And that sort of sensationalism that he creates dominates the news cycle. However, I don't think that's good strategy. I actually had a conversation with former British Prime Minister David Cameron about this a couple weeks ago. What he said was, there's a temptation when you're in office to do the fight of the day and figure out the fight of the day and try and get ahead of that. And the problem with that is, if you're just doing the fight of the day every day, you never get to the big things, because that distracts you. That stops you from doing and dealing with the really big issues that you want to deal with, that you got into office to deal with. President Trump had a lot of things he got into office saying he wanted to do, and not all of them are ones that Democrats would necessarily be opposed to. Infrastructure spending, for instance. But the fact that he's fighting these fights every day, his administration is consumed with these individual little day-to-day fights. I mean, watch the White House press briefing. It is always about the scandal of the day that day. It's never about infrastructure week or tax week or whatever it's supposed to be. This detracts from the president's ability to actually do the things that he and his party might really want to do. I guarantee you, Republicans in Congress would love for the president to just be quiet for a week or two so they could actually get some stuff done. The fact that he can't do that stops his party from really being effective in government. So it's not five-dimensional chess, it's impulsivity. And it's that lack of discipline that's haunted him throughout the campaign trail and now as president that is really stopping him from, as you say, becoming authoritarian, but at the very least from pursuing the policy goals that he might want to.
And does that mean that General Kelly has sort of basically failed to rein him in and take away his Twitter account?
Well, General Kelly's job was never to take away his Twitter account. General Kelly's job was to stop him from doing ill-advised things in government. I would say this is a sign that perhaps General Kelly is doing the right thing, that we are all talking about not some policy agenda, some ill-advised law that he's proposing, or some executive order that he shouldn't be doing. Rather, we're talking about what he said on Twitter. And I think for people within the government, that is a safer way for him to be operating. Politically, operating against the media within the Republican Party has been something that's been, you know, a well-worn idea, going back to Richard Nixon, that you play the ref, you attack the media. That's kind of a safe way to do it, because it distracts him from attacking Paul Ryan or Mitch McConnell, which is what they really don't want to happen right now. So I'm not sure it means Kelly's failed. It means that the president is picking fights with people that it's not going to hurt things too much right now. But as we said, this potentially has very long-term consequences. Just as when the United States was found to be torturing people, that opened our soldiers up to torture, if we start siding against freedom of the press, it hurts freedom of the press everywhere and comes back to haunt us.
But could you make the case that Donald Trump has actually been successful in somehow distracting people, and particularly the press? For example, the tax bill that he's pushing through now, he met on the Hill about today, It's clearly designed to please the donors. And the challenge for the Republicans is to basically con their voters into believing this is going to be good for the middle class, when in fact it's good for the super rich. And the evidence is just overwhelming. This is a president who ran against Wall Street. You recall he painted Hillary Clinton as a tool of Wall Street. Is that an example of somebody that's either deeply cynical or extremely clever?
I don't think it's either. I would argue, honestly, much like Ronald Reagan in 1986 with the big tax reform plan of 1986, the president doesn't really know or care very much about the details of the tax plan. He knows there's a tax plan. He doesn't really know or care what the details of it are. If the president wanted to help the tax reform proposal, he would be going on CNN. He would be going on Fox News. He'd be going on morning shows and talking about why this tax plan is good. And even if he's lying, he would be going out and talking to the details and talking about provisions that he likes in the bill. So, for instance, they're increasing the child deduction, the standard deduction for children, which could help some people. Well, you can go on TV and talk about that. You can do local television in states where swing state senators are. In order, you know, states the senators might swing, you do local television there to put pressure on them. There's a lot the president could be doing and a lot that other presidents in this position would be doing when trying to pass a major legislative agenda piece. The president isn't doing any of that. All we're hoping at this point, if you're a Republican, all you're hoping is the president doesn't do something to derail and hurt the bill. They're not even considering the president to do something to actually help the bill. And that's a huge problem. If the president was out pressuring senators, doing those sort of local TV interviews, pushing this bill, he could get this bill past the finish line much more easily. We're now seeing people giving this current bill about a 60-40 shot of passing the Senate. That's shocking that Republicans aren't able to pass a bill because they don't have a president who's able to organize things, because they have a president who's fighting about whether or not it's okay to call Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas. Spoiler alert, it's not. But that's the fight we're having rather than talking about tax reform.
Well, just in closing, though, isn't it possible that he will have a string of significant victories, that the Republicans simply will vote for this thing because they don't want to look like they can't get anything done? And it's all analysis that I've seen that this tax bill is a catastrophe for the average American. Is it also possible that Roy Moore will be elected, a pedophile, to the United States Senate? That will be a victory for Trump as well. Maybe he'll win with Mulvaney, with the judge that he just appointed. So it's not as if he's not having victory. So does that mean that the press are failing to somehow get the message across about what's really happening here? Whose failure is it that Trump is going to look like he will have some victories?
I would say, you know, so first off, all of these things are momentary victories and strategic losses. Having Roy Moore win and having him join the Senate is a long-term loss for the Republican Party, because every Republican senator will at that point have to be asked, how do you feel about Roy Moore, and is going to have to talk about this, and they don't want to do that. Passing a major bill that is currently in the polls with approval somewhere around 20%, meaning most Republicans don't even like this bill. You can pass that bill, but it is going to hurt you even more when it comes to re-election day. So these are momentary victories and strategic losses. So who is failing if these victories get through? The fact that these things are unpopular means the press is doing its job. The public knows that Donald Trump and this Republican bill is not good for them. You only see that reflected in the polling data. Now, whether that's true or not, that's certainly what the public believes according to the polls. So the public is somewhat informed on this. You can say, well, maybe it should be lower. But the real problem here is that the linkage between the public and the Congress has been severed. The Congress doesn't necessarily care if something is popular or unpopular in the public. It matters on the margins. We did see some Republicans in the House vote against this bill. But it doesn't matter for the leadership, who, as you noted, is much more concerned about donors who are going to be funding the re-election bid next year. What's failed here is the system. I don't think any individual actor necessarily has gone wrong.
Well, curiously, Dan, I'm a little encouraged by what you've told me. I've been very depressed about it. So I thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
And again, I've been speaking with Dan Cascino, who's a professor of political science at Fairleigh Dickinson University, who also serves as the director of the experimental research for the university's independent research group, Public Mind. His latest book is Fox News and American Politics, How One Channel Shapes American Politics and Society. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back looking into the mainstreaming of extremism in Trump's America.